CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
Floored me. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, and this is Darren Lynn Bousman, who has directed three of these, and, you know, editors and
you think one person would be like, hold on a second.
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Aaron Dicer.
Hi, Adelie-ho, Cinerinos.
Ooh, that's kind of like a sad Heidley Ho.
I know, Aaron's like
Heidley Ho.
It's mid afternoon, man. Aaron's feeling it.
That's right. It's been a long weekend.
Today we're gonna be doing a mini pod,
a trappy pod.
I don't know. Spiry pod.
Spirally pod. Oh, what? That's right there. It's right there. It's fucking right there. Spirally pod. Sorry.
Sawy pod.
I keep wanting to call this movie Jigsaw, by the way. I keep wanting to. I cannot stop calling this movie Jigsaw.
It's the same amount of letters.
It's a Jiggy pod.
Yeah, there you go. Jiggy pod. Yeah, there you go. We'll be doing a mini pod on Spiral, movie that came out over the last weekend, and it made like $8.7 million domestically.
Yeah.
And it's hard to gauge, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Is that half of what it would have made? Is that a third? Is that almost what it would have made? No telling, really, but it was the number one movie over the weekend, and this was my first experience at a theater since Tenet, which was 8 months ago, something like that.
End of last summer, beginning of the fall, something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was in June. It might be like almost
9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
That's insane. Think about that. Think about that. Tenet seemed like a long time since I'd been to movie theaters, and it had been 6 months.
Right.
And now, you know, you watch a movie and it's like, oh, Jesus, it's really been that long since I watched Tenet even. So anyway, Spiral is from the Book of Saw. So we're doing a movie that is sort of based in the Saw universe. It stars Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. Those are the big draws of this movie.
And Aaron's such a Saw expert. We had to get him on here for you guys.
I'm just excited for the sequels to this table. From the Book of Saw.
Chain
from the Book of
Chain.
Saw.
Yeah.
But Jigsaw always used the spiral.
Just
see from the Book of Saw. Yeah.
I think how they kind of, I mean, maybe because Chris and I have watched like pretty much all the Saw movies over the last few months for various reasons. But I'm trying to remember once where they mentioned a spiral, and like they kind of retcon that into this movie, don't they? Where they're like, you know, it's like John always said about the spiral. When did John say that about the spiral?
I was stumped on that one. I was stumped. So I guess general thoughts. First off, Aaron, you're going into this somewhat blind, like you saw the first Saw. What do you think of this?
I mentioned to you guys that if you wanted more of a Saw on the pod, that I could kind of play that role, because I'd never seen a Saw movie. Since then, I did watch the first one. I thought, you know, this is more of the one that people have told me kicked it. There's a reason there are all these sequels, because the first one was good enough that people wanted more, that kind of thing. And I thought it would give me a little context to compare this one to. So I did watch that, and I don't know if enjoyed is the right word. It's not necessarily my kind of movie, but I did enjoy the puzzle aspect of it. You know, there's very much a puzzle aspect of it that
goes away
enjoy.
Quickly in the franchise, just so you know.
Yep.
Very quickly.
Well, I was going to say, it's not much in this new one either. And that kind of leads me to my general thoughts. Anything I liked about the original Saw doesn't appear to really be in this one at all. Now, there are additional things that I can connect to. you know, Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are always fun to see on screen. Chris Rock gets a couple moments to do some stand-up, apparently, in this movie.
Oh my God.
They give him a couple, like, five minutes moments to talk about stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with this movie.
Yep.
But that was kind of funny. And it has a little more maybe polish and shine to it. It feels more like a modern production than the original.
The last one they made, Jigsaw, definitely felt more like that too. But as far as like the original seven films or whatever, this is definitely, this looks more polished, less grimy. Although it's pretty grimy. Mm.
But my overall thoughts is this movie has a lot of problems. It's at times very messy. It's at times doesn't know, like, I can't at least connect to where it's trying to go, what it's exactly trying to say. There's some really powerful themes this movie could have landed, and it just winks at them. And I really couldn't, like, the police brutality stuff. It's all about crooked cops. All that stuff is just ripe for a nice, like, metaphor message movie in a horror movie. Just kind of like Get Out is for, you know, a lot of that racial stuff. And they just kind of wink at it.
I wonder, because, Chris Rock, Chris Atkinson and I got to talk to Darren Lynn Bousman, the director. I don't know. Has that been a year? I don't even know
It wasn't. It was last year, and it was for Death of Me when he was coming out with that movie.
But he did talk about this a little bit. He just talked about it because we asked him about Saw and stuff, because he directed the 2 through 4, and then he came back and did this one. And he said that, he told the story, which I'm sure a lot of people know now, that Chris Rock, I think he was at a party or something, and somebody from Lionsgate, I can't remember who he originally spoke to. Maybe it was even like Lee Whannell or something. I don't know. I don't think it was, though. I think it was just like a executive or something. But he said he had an idea for a horror movie. And then they were like, I think you might have a Saw movie. So they kind of turned it. But I'm really curious, because I can't find, like, I don't think he's ever said what that original movie was. But my guess is it is probably something along the lines of Get Out, where you kind of see that movie in here, right? You kind of see that police brutality thriller where, maybe there's some, somebody that feels like they're morally just by killing them. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of, they made it into a Saw movie. Because this is 100% a Saw movie, by the way. Like, if anybody's concerned that they just shoved it in there. Now, at times, I think it forgets it's a Saw movie. But... but for the most of the runtime, I mean, that opening scene, the opening trap and everything, I mean, it's just like, yep, this is what we're doing.
Just about everything Aaron said about how the puzzle aspect is missing from this movie. And of course, Jonathan alluded to the fact that Saw sequels later did this. They replaced puzzles for whammy surprise endings.
Right.
That was what they did Saw has its whammy surprise ending too, but 2 through 7 all decided they were going to be like, here's something you didn't consider during this whole time. This was happening at the same time, or, this person was there the whole time and you didn't know it and blah, blah, blah. And like,
Chris and I were joking last week that like Angus McFadden was going to be walking down a hallway at some point.
Yeah, exactly. From Saw 3, the protagonist of Saw 3 and Braveheart too. Let's talk about Saw Braveheart 3 for the next hour.
There's a Braveheart 2. I never saw Braveheart 2.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Braveheart.
But the fact that they abandoned that, like, it feels like, I don't know, they came out with Saws every year. Starting in 2004, they came out with a Saw every year in October. And around Saw 6 coming out in 2009, Paranormal Activity started doing the same thing. They started coming out with their brand. And like, Saw was on its way down, Paranormal Activity was on its way up, and Saw just eventually died at that point. But like, I guess it's too hard to come up with puzzle.
Yeah.
Real good puzzles and everything. The first one has some decent ones, then the next few just don't have.
Well, and this is the
torture. I I have a problem with this because it is not hard to come up with good puzzles. There are so many escape rooms.
Aaron
right
does
now.
It in his side.
I do it as my side
free
job.
Time.
No, what I'm saying is there are people who do this for a living and come up with incredibly intricate ideas for puzzles and solving things. And that's why we have the escape room industry, right? Like this is a really interesting
the movie
thing.
Escape Room would have been a better Saw sequel
that's,
than a lot
that
of the
is
Saw
what
sequels.
I'm saying. That is where I was going. Like I didn't love Escape Room, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed a lot of it because of the puzzle aspect of it. And the puzzles in that movie even weren't all that great, but they were at least puzzles. These aren't puzzles. These are just like
well,
do this or this happens. That's not a puzzle.
In defense of this movie, it's going to be hard to talk about this without spoilers. But I will say on that for people that aren't going to listen to the spoiler section yet. In defense of this movie, though, the motives, I don't know. I guess we'll have to talk about this because I don't really know if the traps are supposed to be something that they really have the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's
to get out of.
That's one of my questions for you guys.
That's the thing. I think they've abandoned this completely. Like there's no sense of puzzles anymore.
It's I don't just, know. I don't know. I'm just hesitant to say anything because if there are, because I know some people do listen to this first part just to see if they want to see the movie and then they, you know,
okay. Then we'll talk about it in more detail in the spoilers then. So, I guess let's just go ahead and do a round of grades on this and we'll get into spoilers.
I'll go first. This movie is really weird, as a lot of the things that Chris and Aaron have said. I agree with Aaron too. I think this movie, I don't know if he said this specifically, but there are some serious mixed messages. I cannot figure out. This movie makes some interesting choices when it does try to seem to be presenting a message. I don't know. But even with all that said, we'll get into that more in spoilers. All that said, though, there were moments in this movie I liked. I think as just a summer kind of thrill ride, it's okay. It's not very good or very bad. It's just okay. So I'm going to give it a C+ because I definitely didn't hate it or anything, but I can't really get past that. I might watch it again at some point outside of work. I don't, you know, if we sent it or something, but you know, and I like Chris Rock. I like Samuel Jackson. Marisol Nichols is in this, who I love. Who plays his Max Minghella? Max Minghella is quite good in this, I think. So I'm going to give it a C+. You might think I should have given it less when I start bitching about some stuff and spoilers, but but I'm going to give it a C+.
Yeah.
I combined the things I said about the messiness along with the fact that this isn't necessarily a movie made for me anyway. This isn't a movie, you know, for me, and it's probably not a surprise that I am in.
Might not be a movie. The lower range. I mean, it might not be.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I'll go with just a solid D. I think D is probably where I'll land on this.
I think that's fair. I'm also
I can't go much lower than that considering how polished it is and some of the performances and that kind of stuff. So yeah, D is where I live.
Yeah, I've had a hard time giving a movie an F because it has to be like The Room quality for me to give it that kind of a grade. I guess if it pisses me off enough, I can give it an F.
Right. But, yes.
I'm gonna give this a C+ as well. There was a moment here, and I think it was some euphoria that I was able to watch this movie in a theater and not really worried as much as I was when I was watching Tenet, which was it was just an awful movie to watch during pandemic time because you had you know, not only was it hard to understand, but it was also just, you know, there's all the stuff going on at the time. But I'm gonna give this a C+. I hate the fact that they got away from the puzzle aspect so early. You know, like Saw, I mean, I guess those middle Saws that Darren Lynn Bousman did were pretty good, you know, like as far as, you know, follow-ups to that first Saw, but the first Saw had so much promise for what we could do later. And then it just became this whole thing like, well, people don't really like puzzles, do they? They just like the torture. And it's like, no, that's how did you arrive at this equation? You know,
it's like, also like, it's so different watching these back to back, you know, which we did have a break between 5 and 6, but like, I know Chris and I both, we watched the first 5 and we covered 5 on CinemaSins. And I agree with you. I think I think 10 years later, like at least the Bousman sequels, they hold up a little better, but then you start seeing where it gets too caught up in its in narrative.
Yeah.
Which was actually not a huge problem with this movie, but maybe this movie needed a little more narrative. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting though. This is like just basically a cop movie and you know, that's.
Yeah. Let's go on and go into spoilers. And really get down to the nitty gritty of this movie.
No spoilers!
The most basic is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
Just no. I'm reading the books.
This is one thing I disliked. Max Minghella, they do this thing with him where it's an obvious tell that he's the killer. And I don't understand why they do this type of stuff. They don't show his death. They don't show his trap. And if you know anything about movies, you sit here and go, your whole brand is showing the trap and showing someone dying, especially a character like this. And so they do that. And it's like, I don't care what you show me here. I don't care if you showed me Max Minghella himself in that in the room, like you know, there's an obvious double, or he's got a twin brother or something like that. I hate that so much that they did that. I mean, that was the tell a lot for Game of Thrones. Remember, like every time they never showed a death.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Those people always came back.
And some deaths they did show. People came
back.
And
I am terrible. Like I talk a lot on Behind the Scenes and when I've been on Sincast about my love of like murder mysteries and stuff. I'm terrible at solving these things. I am terrible at it. As soon as he borrowed Chris Rock's phone.
Oh yeah.
And then like a couple scenes later, he calls him and he's in front of his computer and you can hear a baby crying, but you don't actually see the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, no, it's him. He doesn't have a family. Like, I don't know. I didn't know who he was, but right. I knew he was I didn't know the motive. And that is kind of interesting. Although it does question why he didn't go after one of the cops first, but whatever. But I definitely figured out it was him. I do still think he's good, though. And once he gets revealed, I liked the way he played it. He didn't go too over the top. He's one of the reasons I'm willing to give this movie a C+.
There are movies where I'll figure something out and it's not the fault of the movie. Just something clicked in my brain and you know, that's fine. And then there are movies that, you know, floor me with a twist at the end because I didn't see it coming. And the biggest one for me is Fight Club. Had no clue. About the Fight Club ending, and that's fun, and I don't usually assign much to it, but this is different. This is the movie making a huge mistake in my opinion, because it's almost like you get to the end and they reveal this thing, and you're like, how do you have the audacity to even claim this is a twist? We all knew, like, how do you think anything else is going to happen in this movie? Like, it's just. So it's one thing if I don't know how you do it differently other than maybe you just reveal that information sooner, but it's so anticlimactic when the movie wants you to think, ta-da, and you're like,
I wish I remembered when this, I don't remember. Do you guys remember when Hello Zep comes in? I mean, Aaron might not even think about that because he hasn't watched all the Saw movies, but the Hello Zep score, which they don't really use till the end.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact point it comes in, but it's not when Max Minghella's character is revealed to be the killer. And I did see somebody on Twitter say a lot of people are confusing where the twist is. The twist is always when Hello Zep starts. Darren Lynn Bousman retweeted that and said, you got it. But I wish I could remember when the fucking music started. Because there is a twist in the fact that, I guess the biggest twist is that whole time he's been testing Zeke, which is Chris Rock's character.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't even really work for me for some reason. I mean, I think it's kind of cool in theory, but I mean, I don't know.
I'm not sure I even understand. What's the twist?
Okay. Whoa. I don't know. My thinking is the whole time when you find out that, I mean, so I guess I don't know how much we've talked about the plot. So essentially dirty cops are being put in these traps and they're given like, these weird ways, like if they lose a part of their body, they'll get up. Like the guy that lies in court, he has to lose his tongue, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that, like, I don't remember why he had to lose his fingers, but there was something about that. He could lose all of
pointing the finger at the wrong people. Yes. That type of
yeah.
Thing.
So that's what's going on. And so Zeke is a good cop. Zeke is the one played by Chris Rock. He's, from what we can tell, a very honest cop. In fact, the whole reason he's in such a bad state is because, well, he's getting divorced and stuff like that. Typical cop movie shit. But he turned in a dirty cop.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then you find out that Max Minghella, the dirty cop, shot a witness and killed a witness. You find out Max Minghella was that guy's son, right, and has basically spent his whole life not only trying to get into the police force, but to become Zeke's partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so the twist, I mean, one of the twists is that he is trying to see if Zeke can become his partner in what he believes is, like, you know, what would make him the next Jigsaw. Something like that. I mean, however you want to. Okay. Look into that. I got out of it.
I don't know. I actually was thinking that same thing. I felt like Hello Zep came in at a point where I was like, wait a minute, what exactly is this?
Yeah.
Like right now that's being revealed. And I think it may come back to what Aaron's saying here. We already know Max Minghella.
Yeah.
So when that comes in, it's like, is this really that big of a surprise? I don't understand. So I don't know. I can't remember if there was any other thing that you could consider a twist in this movie other than that. And that's a twist only if you just aren't paying attention, I guess. But
yeah, exactly. And they don't even spend that much time on him. Like he's just standing by a table. It's not even like a reveal. It's weird. And so I feel like that was purposeful. And like I said, I feel like the fact that it's really Zeke's game. Mm-hmm. The whole time, like he's really putting Zeke, he's trying to find out if Zeke will try to save the cops or if he will let them die. But right. That doesn't really happen until the very end. That's what I'm saying. Like, because Zeke's not around.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but Zeke's not around the first couple of cops.
Will Zeke ultimately join him and instead of, because you're still complicit in some way if you allow your dad to keep living or that type of, is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that was the kill. And you're also, I mean, we're dealing with a killer's mentality, right? And, you know, that's what I was kind of talking about when Aaron and you were saying that, you know, or Aaron was saying they aren't really puzzles, but like, this is a killer that I don't think is trying to create puzzles. He wants these people to die. So in that sense, he's kind of the anti-Jigsaw, right? Because
but everybody,
or he doesn't understand Jigsaw.
That's the thing. Everybody's the anti-Jigsaw after a while, because once Jigsaw like starts dying in part three and everything, and it's going to his apprentices, that his apprentices, both of them, are all about they have to suffer, and that's all. And this is what this is all about. In fact, the apprentices sort of stand in for the people who make these movies almost, right? Because they don't care about puzzles. They don't care about getting them out or anything. They care about death and torture. That's what the filmmakers want. But yeah, I can see what you're saying there. Like if we were to consider that a twist, which I don't think we can, I think it's just the motive.
I think that might be the intention, but I don't think going back to Aaron saying the movie's messy, I don't think it comes across well. Like I don't think it's shot in a way where we can really see that. I'm pretty much putting my own ideas in there. So I could be completely wrong at what they intended, but Josh Stolberg was the writer. But I do think there is something about the fact that when the reveal happens of Max Minghella, there's nothing to it. It's silent. Chris Rock just walks in the room. Dude's right. Just standing at the table.
So you're saying ultimately this is not the twist.
Yeah,
his it's game almost like, is the twist.
Yeah, that's my guess. But that's the movie's fault for us having to have this conversation, right? I mean, it's not. I don't think this is like an interesting thing. I don't think this is something where you can get so many different things out of it. I think it's just kind of sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I both kind of like the ending, but because I like the stuff with I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know how much we want to get into the race stuff, but I just found it interesting that like the movie presents police brutality the whole time, but it doesn't actually, it's not race. It doesn't ever get into depth about if it's racially motivated. It's just, there are black characters and there are white characters and Latino characters. And
this is what I was talking about.
Yeah. 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 And so, but at the end with Samuel L. Jackson, you have like an art, you have like a, what do you call it? I actually did write something down, but it's like
it's a marionette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying like it's an image, right, of him, a black man with a gun pointed towards police officers, and then he gets shot without being questioned or anything. He's, you know, so it's like it's very much like it's an image that kind of echoes like racially motivated murders, right? But all the time leading up to that, we don't know if anything, there's nothing, nothing is brought up by racial motivation. Everything is just, these are these people and this is what they're doing. It does, the skin color and stuff has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And they bring up something vague about like a, what was something Section 8 or something like that?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. It was Samuel Jackson. And, oh, that's another interesting thing that they did. But Samuel Jackson and Marisol Nichols were kind of the head of this Section 8, which was basically the cops were given carte blanche to clean the streets.
That's part of what makes it so frustrating to me is there really is something there that could have been interesting and powerful in the idea of a system that puppets people of color and into situations where they are powerless and into situations where they are misunderstood and into situations where their lives are taken. Like that's deep and powerful stuff. And you can't just wink at it without giving the audience some context clues to here's the metaphor we're dealing with, you know, throughout.
Yeah.
There is some stuff with, and I think this is a Saw thing, not necessarily a this movie thing, but the pig masks, those kind of things, you know, obviously, you know, police are referred to as pigs, you know, that kind of like there's plenty of police stuff through this movie, but the racial stuff is almost just kind of waved at occasionally. And until that last image, there's nothing really to hang your hat on that.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing they really give you. And by that time, it's like, okay, but have we earned this moment, like with any kind of metaphor here?
Well, I just don't know that it fits in with the context of everything that's come before it. Because if you want to make it like just kind of a general wash where, you know, the color and stuff doesn't matter, these are just the people, and this is what they're doing. But then to have such a striking image there at the end, was weird. It was just weird. But I also kind of like that ending because it's very cool. Like I like the callback to the pig puppet, you know, coming up and pointing the gun at him in the video. Mm-hmm. And then they do the same thing with Samuel Jackson's character. Because I'll be honest, when they opened that door, I thought he was going to split in like five parts. Because that's a very Saw thing. So I thought it was so interesting that they did the whole, like you were saying, the marionette thing. And kind of made it their own little, like, this isn't Jigsaw, right? This is somebody else. And he's not like he doesn't have like a master's in engineering, like apparently Jigsaw did when he designed those traps. These seemed a little more simplistic and like the puppets were a lot cruder than like the Billy doll. And then obviously the pig thing, which I didn't even think about. I got to be honest until you brought that up, Aaron.
Yeah, because it was such a Saw thing for the helpers to be in pig costumes when they would do it. But in this one, I got the same thing as Aaron did because it felt like there was the more use of them, more visibility to them than normal.
Yes.
But I think if the whole thing is that Chris Rock is in the game and that's the twist and everything, there probably should have been some other sort of plot tweak to this to where we understand that, you know, like, I don't know if this even matters, but that he tattle on one of his fellow cops, which he did the right thing, but he also didn't tattle on his own dad. Like there should have been something maybe that he knew
about. Did he know?
Like, no. I don't know if he knows. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he should know. if that's the case.
I agree.
He's the one who comes up with Section 8 or whatever it is, or he knows that his dad's been doing some shady stuff, and that's in there, and that was the ultimate test, and I think that's what makes that would have made that ultimate test a little bit more satisfying at the end, is if we know he's done something that's just a little bit against Max Minghella's rules during this whole time.
For sure. Well, and it also would have helped if the father-son stuff had been more a little more dealt with a little better, because like we don't get enough with them to even really know. I mean, Chris Rock has flashbacks, because heaven forbid you have a Saw movie without fucking flashbacks. But Chris Rock has flashbacks some, but you don't there's not enough there. It seems like they don't even really like each other. And so that's another thing. I mean, I don't know. Also, I don't think there's no way to save Marcus at the end anyways, right? I mean, because he's either got to pull all that shit out of him, which he's going to lose all his blood, or...
I was very unclear on whether or not he could actually save him.
I personally don't see how he could have saved him.
I don't understand either of those last two traps. I was going to ask you guys, like, what did Minghella's character want him to do in the glass trap? Because he says something about you disappointed me or whatever. Was he just wanting him just to like stand there and cackle?
Or let the guy die, which he ended up doing, but he did try to help him. But the thing is too, Chris Rock also had to solve that riddle or what, I mean, not riddle, but he said the comment about it's in the garbage you'd throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
Then he just randomly sees that trash can.
That's what I'm saying. He drops out on the ground.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm sorry. It was so funny.
So his point of that trap was to give clues to something he didn't want to happen?
That part felt like we were missing something.
Well, and that brings to the next thing, which is that much like many Saw movies, but I think even more egregious in this one, is how many things have to go right for these things to be pulled off.
Yeah.
Especially the Marisol Nichols death, where it requires Chris Rock to sort of like remember something and then go away from the station. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, all of a sudden he realizes that she's in danger and everything. And he has to be on this track of something off the wall, call her and say, go down to the cold case room and then realize, oh, that's probably not a good place for her to be. And then, I mean, there's so much that has to happen for her to get down into that cold case room and then for the trap to work and all that. Like,
And then nobody else comes down to check a file out or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's cold cases, man. You know, they're cold for a reason. But there were a lot of those type of things, but I also, you know, I sort of detest, even if it's not going to be a puzzle, you know, giving the people like 60 seconds, 30 seconds to try to get out of these things. Like you're supposed to be I know that what you were saying, Jonathan, that Max Minghella just wants them to die. So he's assuming they will, and he wants them to, but God, there's no fun in this whole like 30 seconds you have to die thing. And they actually try to get out of these. A lot of these people do. They make the quote unquote right decision, and they're still going to be dead because they don't have enough time to get out of them. That's how complex they are.
That was the finger trap one was like that the most for me.
Yeah.
Was just like, so what was supposed to, that was another question I was going to ask you, and I think you've answered it, but is that the case in a lot of Saw movies where the traps aren't really meant to have an exit? They're
depends.
Just
it depends.
People?
See, Jigsaw always gave them an exit, but I mean, he was still crazy as fuck. And I still, my favorite thing about the Saw movies is Jigsaw always saying he never actually killed anybody. They killed themselves. It's hilarious. But he always gives them an exit. But then there was this whole subplot, like one of his disciples, Amanda, the Shawnee Smith character, in one, I think it was in Saw 3, you know, she's the cops realize that the traps are different because there's not a way for people to escape. And then you find out she's been setting those up and she's not giving them an option. She just wants them to die.
Yeah.
So they've played with that before for sure. But so it just depends.
Yeah,
because I was confused during the finger one, especially like this. I mean,
well, yeah, he tries, right?
He's trying to get out. From the very beginning, he's like, yeah, take my fingers, I'll live. And it didn't matter. Yeah,
I will say, even as gross as that was a pretty interesting, like that was like FX wise, that was really well done, which is weird because a lot of the other FX was sloppy as hell. Like that Marisol Nichols thing was ridiculous. Like I wasn't even grossed out. That was just dumb looking. I mean, and then they had that scene where Chris Rock takes like the wax off of her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I shouldn't be laughing about shit like that, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where, you know, Saul started diverging, and they turned that very aspect of Amanda and then Detective Hoffman into they are doing it their own way and not really following what he says.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me too. I mean, there's so many, we could talk about this aspect of Saw for hours if we wanted to. But like, it's weird to me that they follow what they think he's this awesome dude who's like, you know, we need to follow everything he says. And then they just don't learn on the whole, give the victim a chance thing. They don't figure that out, even though that's part of it and everything. So yeah, when she was involved with it and Detective Hoffman, it became an elaborate, how can I get away with a bunch of murders and pin it on somebody else for three movies? That's been pretty much his whole MO on those things. And so like, that's what Saw became.
Yeah.
There was no puzzle to it anymore. It was all eating itself almost, because it was like,
yeah, for sure.
Because they were this way, Jigsaw had to put them through their own tests again. In fact, it was like their second test, because Amanda went through a test in the first one and Detective Hoffman went through a test in Saw 5. I think they showed
sounds right. Yes.
And so like after the test, they think they're home free. And then Jigsaw's like, oh, they're not really paying attention to what I'm saying. I'm going to have to put them through a second test. Yeah.
Or this test was really for this person. You just thought it was you.
Exactly. Angus McFadden again. He's always involved.
Angus McFadden walking down a hallway is my favorite. I need that GIF, and GIF, whatever it is, I need it.
It's a GIF.
Another thing I will say real quick, kind of going off what you're saying, Chris, this movie, and I could have been reading too much into this. This could have been just me, but this movie feels like it's trying to act like it's doing things different. But like they've had copycat killers in Saw movies before, like in multiple Saw movies, they've had copycat killers. And my favorite, the line that really was just like, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Is when Chris Rock says John Kramer never went after cops, targeted cops. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
In Saw 2, that whole thing is to go after Matthews, Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg, and also Danny Glover.
Danny Glover's a cop. Detective Hoffman. Agent Strom. I mean,
it was nothing but cops all the time.
And they've been like cop movies, basically, other than the first one. They're all cop movies. I mean, they're all like, there's procedurals, there's detectives always investigating gross crime scenes. And so I don't know. That was just, but that line just absolutely floored me. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, and this is Darren Lynn Bousman, who has directed three of these, and you know, editors and
you set think designers. One person would be like, hold on a second. That's all he ever does.
Yeah, I know. I do wonder, Aaron, though. I feel like you're kind of saying you're curious what the other movie was. I'm actually thinking this might have been the best version, though, because it's very possible the other movie was just like a 7 clone or something. It would have done the same thing. It just would have not been Saw related.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
We'll have to go back and listen to that interview where he says, because I somewhat remember him saying that Chris Rock had some sort of like a comedy version of this. Maybe. Almost. And then they changed it to this or whatever. Chris Rock doesn't show up as a story or anything on the writing end, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
So
Josh Stolberg wrote Jigsaw. He wrote the last one. So they brought him back on. I guess he got with Chris, and then, you know, he got with Chris,
but
I mean, he's my best friend. He got with Chris Rock. He got with Mr. Rock, and
yeah. But you would think that he would at least get a story by Cronin. Yeah, you would think so. If he was significantly, you know, responsible for what story we saw on this whole thing.
What'd you guys think of Chris Rock in this?
I was just gonna say, I was gonna say, I'm almost sure that he at least improvised some of that stuff. Some of that stuff was clearly like his comic sensibility.
Like he was working out a Forrest Gump bit for a future stand-up.
Exactly. But that was going to lead me into the fact that I think he's terrible in this. And I don't know if I'm alone on that, but I really think he's bad in this.
I think there are moments where I wish somebody had been like, man, you got to pull it back just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he's so shouty.
Yes. He screams the whole time. Yeah.
Well, oh God, I don't know. Maybe I saw a different performance. Maybe, I mean, he does shout a bunch, yes. But when he's not shouting, he's too sedate.
Yeah.
Like there's,
when
they're going down in the subway and he's telling that story about, he's talking about marriages and stuff like that. I was like, man, it feels like you're trying to tell this dude a bedtime story right now. Cause he's so like this talking like this the whole time. And that's a whole one shot that goes down. So it's very mesmerizing the way this whole scene goes down. And I thought he was very like, so maybe he's two extremes here. He's too sedate when he's not shouting, and when he's shouting, he's not sedate.
He's like doing really bad impressions of both Eddie Murphy performances and Beverly Hills Cop and Beverly Hills Cop 2.
but he is
like, when he was shouting though, I was just thinking, man, there's not enough Samuel L. Jackson in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I kind of almost wish that was Samuel L. Jackson's, like he just played the cop. You know, I don't know, something about when I was watching, I'm like, you know, Samuel Jackson versus Jigsaw would be pretty awesome. Like, and I'm talking like Tobin Bell, which obviously he's not a part of this. You just see pictures of him. But I was just thinking, man, that was a missed opportunity when they were doing like some versus stuff. They could have done that.
Yeah. I mean, and it could have come down to the fact that they, you know, you couldn't have gotten Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, I know. I'm not even saying
that you're wrong. I'm just saying. Yeah. They were like, oh, we can get Samuel L. Jackson. But then they forget that, oh, he's really only going to be in it for.
Yeah, he was there a few days. I mean, I guess that last trap would have been a couple of days probably shooting. But I can't imagine he was there more than a week.
Exactly.
I didn't think Chris Rock was terrible. I think there was something there. I just don't think it was. I don't think it was worked out enough. And honestly, the stand up stuff that we're calling stand up stuff was pretty entertaining. Like I like the whole thing. Like Jenny won't give him any till she has AIDS.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, I always try to be pretty careful when I say an actor is terrible in a movie to at least mention that the actor is only responsible for a very small portion of their performance.
True.
Because they are being directed and then they are being edited. And so, you know,
and written
for that matter. So, So when I say that Chris Rock is terrible in this, what I mean is the presentation of that character.
I agree.
His performance was terrible for me.
100%. So. I mean, I do think Max Minghella is giving a really interesting performance here, because I think he really could, and maybe that has to do with the way they did him, but he could have really gone like, you know, like Rebecca Gayhart there at the end and
ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
But he also isn't trying to do Tobin Bell. Right. So, cause I don't think anybody can do Tobin Bell as well as Tobin Bell, he makes it his own thing, and he's interesting enough to where, while this movie doesn't completely work, like if they made another one, I'd probably check it out, you know, or I'd be curious to see what they're going to go with it.
That was kind of an interesting contrast to Jigsaw was the tapes in this one, the TVs that come on and, you know, tell them that they're in a game and everything. That voice is so opposite of Saul that it almost comes off creepier at times.
I agree.
So I was actually like really getting into it for a section of the movie was like, oh, this really does feel different and everything. But once the traps start happening with more regularity and you're just like, oh, okay. So this is all about death then. Okay. Right.
But I think you bring up a good point, because I think the movie does a good job, which a lot of these reboots and stuff don't do, where it makes it different, but it also makes it worth being a Saw movie. Like, this couldn't be anything other than a Saw movie. So you're not sitting there going, well, they should have just not called that Saw. But it does distinguish itself, right? So, I mean, if that ends up, you know, interesting you, you might like this a little more. Because I will say, I mean, it's a wreck of Warren, I guess, based on my grade and stuff. But, like, if you had any interest in seeing this, I would definitely check it out. Although, if you're listening this far, you've probably seen it. But I would temper my expectations a little bit.
All right. Well, that movie was at best a C+ and at worst.
What was Aaron's favorite trap?
I think the most effective was the first one. I think the first scene is the most effective.
He could have survived, right?
I think of all of them, that person actually could have just jumped down right at the beginning, tore his tongue out, and ran away.
I feel like, I don't know, obviously I've never been in that situation before, guys. I know a lot of people out there have been, but I feel like when somebody tells you you're going to die if you don't do this, the first thing you do is see if they've made mistakes with the trap, obviously. You want to see if you want to get out of it without hurting yourself. But then if a train's coming, I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm like, all right, I guess my tongue's going to get knocked. You're going to get ripped out. And well,
you'd be in so much pain, you might pass out. You might get hit by the train anyways.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. That scene, though, I agree with you, Aaron. I think, and even like execution wise, that was probably the best one because it was, I mean, I still don't want to see it, but it was like the right amount of cringe, but it didn't show like it showed enough, maybe a little too much, but I don't know. It wasn't like when we were seeing the fingers just come off the hand and all that kind of stuff like later.
Yeah.
It was just kind of one of those weird situations where you're just like, oh my God, what, you know? I will say though, I haven't had this happen in a while. I tweeted about this too, but when I go, my theater that I go to, there's a back exit that not everyone takes, but I usually do because I just don't want to walk all the way around back to the front, deal with the people in line for food and stuff. And it's a hallway. It's like, I don't know how long. It's not a very long hallway. There's like one door that you pass, like an employee door. And I was the only one in the hallway after that. And I actually had like a feeling of, oh my God, a pig mask guy is gonna wrap some white sheet around me.
Just in case Jonathan needs to go get popcorn at this moment. Yeah.
And that was interesting though. Like I hadn't had that kind of like chill after I got out of a movie in a long time. So that was, I mean, in that way, I guess it was a little effective, but I still didn't really understand that. What was that? Was it like chloroform or something on? But it would look like it was like a pillowcase or like a sheet that he was wrapping around their face. I never could figure that out. And how does one cop not shoot him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. I don't either. I don't know.
Jigsaw's never targeted cops until Spiral, guys.
That's right. Until now. All right. So I guess, what did you guys think of this movie if you've seen Spiral? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on SoundCloud and we're on Discord. And if you want to get on Discord, you can go to Facebook and private message me and I'll give you a link there. Spiral, a little bit disappointing, actually. I don't think I was expecting much, but I was disappointed. But
and for a lot of people, it's their first or, you know, maybe second time back at the theater. So. You know, this is like, it's like, oh, this is what I came back for. I guess that's cool.
Yeah.
Hope Cruella's better. You know, I don't know.
Right. That's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Watkins and Aaron Dicer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.